turning to Matthew chapter 9 and verses 20 to 22. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. So let's turn our attention to this account of the woman with the issue of blood, which can be found in three of the Gospels, and in more detail than our choice of the Gospel of Matthew this evening. But this short account has its own credits and advantages. It gives us the account very succinctly, and that is helpful. We can see the essence of the matter before us very quickly. And these expressions I want to bring to you. She said within herself is one expression. And the other expression, if I may but touch his garment. So before we look at these two expressions, let's note some other things and bring the account into our mind. We find this account of the woman fits in between the beginning and the end of the account of the daughter of Jairus, who had died and Christ brought back to life. In a way, this account here of this woman with the issue of blood is like an interruption. Well, it is a blessed interruption. And it speaks of urgency, doesn't it? Importance. This woman had to interrupt for her own sake. And that's something maybe to note, that there is a momentum and a desire that cuts across all etiquette here, and she must be answered. And that's no bad thing in this case. Well, anyway, this woman had been afflicted in a condition for 12 years, sought help from many doctors. She'd heard about Christ, and no doubt had heard him coming to this district. Of course, this district was Capernaum, and this was, if you look at verse 1, the city associated with Christ. Christ was often in Capernaum. But she had heard of him, and she sought him out. The only problem being, there was a large crowd following him, and she had to make her way to him. And she thought to herself, within herself, if I could but touch his garment, I shall be made well. And so we read of her making her way through the crowd, and there touching the hem or the border of the garment, and she was made whole. True enough, she was made whole. And our Saviour, knowing that this had been done, asked the disciples who touched him, and this seemed strange to them because there was such a crowd pressing upon him. And then we read he turns around to see the woman. And there she was trembling, maybe trembling with the sudden attention that was upon her, or maybe trembling because of what had just happened, that she had been made whole and just overcome by it. But anyway, she falls before him and tells him her case. And our Saviour, having turned around, and now facing her, speaks warmly to her, commends her faith, and says to her to go in peace. And she has been made well, and confirms it all to her. Well, that's the account. Let's note some things from this, and these two things I mentioned. The phrases, she said within herself, and if I may but touch his garment. So those two things. Within herself, and may but touch. And two principles there which we can apply to the gospel, this matter of within ourselves and this matter of touching, if I may but touch the garments. Well, first of all, within herself. She said within herself. Now, these words speak of private thoughts at that moment in time in the heart or the mind of the woman. And of course, That area where we think within ourselves is a whole world of his own. The thoughts, the things, the imaginations that take place within us. But it is a very important area, this area within ourselves. The Bible speaks of the inner man, the real you. Not just your thinking process, but you yourself. Now, in the animal world, animals think and so on, but man has a capacity to know and enjoy God. Man has a soul which is immortal. Something quite remarkable about man. Not just that he's a higher species and higher being to the animals around, and that is true, but even more so, because man has a soul. And this soul has been created to know and enjoy God, has the capacity to know and enjoy God. And so what takes place within ourselves, this inner man, this immortal soul, is of great significance and great importance for our eternity and our relationship with God. There are many things which are external, which are important, but really the heart of the matter is the heart, is the inner man, what goes on in there. And I want to consider that, first of all, this evening. And the question might be tonight, what do you think within yourself? What are your aspirations and motives? What are your hopes and your aims? They might be rather basic and superficial, perhaps, or they might be aspirational. You might desire to rise to great heights of human ability and achievement. You might be very ambitious. And also, of course, there can be very dark matters indeed that go on within the minds and hearts of men and women. Let's go over those things again. This matter of the superficiality, the first of all, and then the aiming for the stars, the sky, so to speak, and then also all the depths as well, and the dark matters of our heart. Consider what goes on within your inner man this evening. I suppose it's true, all three are true of us. We can be superficial, we can be ambitious, and we can be terribly dark as well. But first of all, this superficiality. Very often, we don't rise much above the earthly and the material. And you could say there are worse things. But you know, there's something quite tragic about that. If that's all there is to us, when we think of our souls being created to glorify God and enjoy him, that is what we've been created for. That if we live on the earthly, on the level of the body, isn't it rather disappointing, to say the least? It's more than that, of course, but to begin with, it's disappointing. It is very limited. And especially if this matter of living for the body, and that's what most people seem to live for the body, for the material, that's what drives them. It's rather tragic and sad. And also, probably, all to do with you. Even if you are a very giving person, giving to your family and so on, it's your family, and it's you, and it's your family's name is you, and very often, it's all to do with you. And that's the scope of your thinking, and the scope of your world, and it's rather limited. But maybe some of you rise above the mundane, or so you think, and you move in circles of a higher kind. And that might give you a sense of satisfaction, because there is a satisfaction when you achieve things, and you are successful, and you're admired, and people look up to you, and of course it feeds the ego and so on, and it gives you a sense of superiority. And even if it's not officially how you think, or think highly of yourself, you do enjoy it, and you enjoy that position. Get a satisfaction from it in one way or another. It satisfies you, this higher plane, so to speak. But, you know, in the end, these heights are very, very human. You know, you try to reach for the stars, but really, you just go up and down. That's all, really. It's so, so small. It's a long way, I suggest to you, it's a long way from the heights of this woman's thoughts. You come short of her. You might think highly of yourself, but you don't come anywhere near the thoughts of this woman. as I hope to show you in a moment. But you know, truth be told, there's so much darkness within our inner man. We think of the fountain of our thinking and of our everything. This fountain is corrupted. And sometimes we frighten ourselves when we realize what our souls are capable of, what depths our thinking go to in our hearts, and it can be very depraved and corrupted. Some of this, of course, is close to the surface and might come to the surface, and people see the foulness of our thinking and of our living. But also there are depths of wickedness beyond what we might imagine. You don't know the awful potential of your heart, your inner man. You know, you don't realize perhaps the damage sin has done to you. And a bit like Pandora's box, if you open it, well, you do not know where it will end. It will go on. And the sin unleashed could drive you, and your heart could damn you and ruin your life. And you find that your life and your thinking is out of control. It can happen so easily. And even on the surface of it, it's not good. But, oh, what terrible potential there can be in the heart. And, of course, today, we should not doubt it. We see it all the time, don't we, in the society in which we live. How many today are unleashed in their sinfulness and depravity? What was before may be contained, was always there in previous societies. Thinking now of the last 100 years or so, it was always there. But now we see what the heart of man is truly like in the society in which we live, and how dreadful, to what extent men and women will go in their depraved logic and thinking and actions as well. Now this woman was quite different, and we should take stock of her. She had thoughts of Christ, and she thought, no doubt, of who he was. She must have done. She thought of who he was and what he could do. And perhaps indeed that you are coming to that place by God's grace. You are thinking of God, and you might think to yourself, if only I could know him, if only I could know God, I shall be made whole. Or perhaps if you know your Bible better, you will think of Christ in particular. And you might say, if only I might know him, Jesus Christ, I shall be made whole. Now these are good thoughts. And these thoughts can lead to saving thoughts and saving actions as well. This is a good way to go, to think about God, to think about Jesus Christ. This is the way to be saved, to be truly converted. Oh, I hope these thoughts are taking place in your inner man. That it's not just superficial, it's not just ambitious, it's not just depraved, but there are thoughts of a Savior and a Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must continue down this road of thinking of Christ. Don't stop. Think of him. Consider him. This is your eternity, your great hope of heaven, if you think of Christ and begin with him. You might think of Christ as the Son of God. To begin with, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead who dwells in heaven. He has been in the Godhead from eternity. Of course, now he's there in his humanity as well as his deity, the God-man, Jesus Christ, the eternal Jesus Christ. But in particular, we think of his coming to this world. Why did he come? Well, of course, it's so important for us because we're in this world. He came to be the Savior of the world. And he saved us. How did he save us? Well, he came to die in our place. Because such are our sins, that only death will be the result of it. Only judgment can be the result of our sins. Oh, you might not believe that because you don't think your sin is that serious. But I will say to you, especially in these days in which we live, look around you, look at the world. See the depravity, the depth of darkness there is today. If you have eyes to see it, if you have ears to understand, look upon it. And that is your heart. And that's what sin deserves. Sin deserves the judgment of God. You might look at the sins of some people and say, how terrible. Then look in the mirror, my friend, because that is your heart too. Your heart can hate. Your heart can despise. Your heart can go to the various immoral sins there are. Your heart can be full of pride and prejudice. Your heart can be very cruel when it comes to it. When it touches upon something which is very dear to you, you can respond with great vehemence and great cruelty and unkindness. And these things are from the devil, the darkness. And indeed, your heart can go into that level too, into the occult and the darkness and debauchery that is linked with the devil and those dens of iniquity that there are in this world. And so it is for you to understand, we need a Saviour. This is the hearts of men, you see, are your heart, and we need a Saviour. And Christ came into this world to die in our place. Death would be the result of our sin. Sin ends in death, but Christ came to die in our place. Remove that death, remove that judgment, and bring us to God. And this is a wonderful gospel. It's dark to begin with, but it removes all the clouds and darkness. He came to do it. And he came to save us and bring us to God in all perfection. Who would believe it? We shall enter heaven perfectly, those who are believers in Christ. Remarkable it is to think about it. We're used to our sins. We're used to our lack of righteousness. But we have all those things already and shall have them as we enter heaven. We shall enter heaven, our sins all removed, and in all righteousness. What sweetness this is. What a gospel it is. In this world of hopelessness and darkness, that there is a light and a gospel. That gospel is Jesus Christ. He is all light. He is all gospel too, I can add. What a gospel we find in him. As the hymn says, Jesus, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills the breast. Or this hymn, to think about Calvary and the death of Christ and how important that is to us. A dreadful place, but a beautiful place too, where sinners are saved. I hear the words of love, says Horatius Bonar. I gaze upon the blood. These things fill your mind with. I gaze upon the blood. I see the mighty sacrifice. Oh, that you might dwell and gaze upon these things. Or is your mind flitting here and there with the events of life? Or with great ambitions driving you, filling you with energy to serve yourself? Or even falling into the depths? Or rather, ask God to help you to bring your mind to Jesus Christ, because he is the way to God. And you must find him. But you know, there's more that must take place within the heart. And must take place if you are to be saved and to be like this woman. And it is found in these words, if I may but touch his garment. Now, as you continue with your thoughts within yourself, these thoughts of Christ are good, but there must be a movement within towards Christ. Now, in this woman's case, her thoughts turned to action. The thinking became doing. And in her case, her thinking became the action of the body. But we are thinking more this evening of the thinking of your soul becomes the action of the soul. Your soul must move. Your soul must think and think of Christ and then must move. You can't just sit on it. You can't just stand by. You must respond to the truths which you are dwelling upon. To admire them from afar will not save you. But rather, you must move towards them and towards the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this woman is actually a very encouraging woman in so many ways. So much we can learn from her. We see her, first of all, this dear woman. We see her as tentative. And her approach is rather secretive. She does not approach Christ from the front, but she approaches Christ from the back. And her intention is to secretly touch his garment, to quietly, to come close to him and to touch his garment. And she thinks to herself, but a touch, I shall be healed. But we see a tentative and secretive too. But nevertheless, as we look at this thinking of but a touch, does it not speak of belief? for her to think this way, "But a touch, I shall be healed," surely means she had thought of Christ and thought very accurately, "If I touch this glorious person, I shall be healed." Maybe she thought of his grandeur and mighty power. She must have believed in him. No doubt had heard of him, but she believed. He had power, he had might, he was full of grandeur, and just a touch would suffice. She had such a high view of him, I suggest, that I don't need, she thinks, so it seems, I don't need to have him deal with me directly, but a touch will do it. And such is his power, I shall be healed. And with this, we would agree that Christ is mighty to save. We would agree with that. But even though she was tentative, we note this too, that she ventured. And you find this in true faith. And there's a sense of urgency. And again, we'll find this in true faith. I don't know anybody who was saved without some sense of urgency. There must be urgency, I suggest, and also of venturing. As the hymn writer, I think Joseph Hart said, venture on him, venture wholly. Venture on him, venture wholly. Go to him, in other words. Go. Risk it, risk all. Throw yourself, fly to him. This is gospel language. And this picture, we see her battling her way through the crowd, is like the battle of life, you could say. And then she reaches out and ventures. And this moment of truth. And her heart reaches out. And indeed, that's what we have here, surely. And the importance of the touch, the touching of the border, the hem of the garment of Jesus Christ, speaks of her heart. Not just a hand, but a heart, surely, was reaching out as well. Her hand did, yes. Her hand obeyed her heart. Her heart believed and reached out to Christ. Oh, my dear friend, how important that is. What a movement that is. The hand grasped the garment. And in your heart that you might grasp the Lord Jesus Christ. But touch him. And you shall know. You shall be healed. And yet we note this. I said to you, in a strange way, this woman is encouraging to those who are full of weakness. Because we see here, despite this effort, despite this venturing, there's much weakness associated with this woman. She was tentative in the first place, although she ventured. But she was tentative, came from behind. She was secretive. And also her condition, she would have been physically weak as well. She had an issue of blood. She would have felt very unwell and very weak. And I'm sure she might have thought, it'll take all and summon all my energy to get to him, to fight through his crowd. If you've ever known weakness, you can sympathize with this woman. If you've had some illness and you've been weak in body, you will sympathize. When you have no energy, what an effort this woman went through. She was physically weak, and she might have thought, I'm too weak to reach to him. And indeed, your faith may be indeed very weak as well. But understand this. It's not your faith as such that saves you, although you cannot be saved without faith. It is rather you are saved through whom your faith is in. And come back to what I said earlier. Oh, the grandeur. Oh, the glory of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. You know, my dear friends, we have such a Savior and Redeemer. You might read of him in the Gospels as a man, but understand he is the Son of God. He is God who became man. He is the most remarkable person, and he's full of glory. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. There's nobody more glorious than our Lord Jesus Christ. But more than that, in his mighty power, he saves sinners. We have the best of saviors, the best of redeemers. Where did our Savior come from? From the Godhead, from the Trinity, no less. He came from the strength of God and took our humanity and dies upon the cross and takes the judgment and the sin and saves sinners and removes their sins to the satisfaction of God, and also to boot, gives righteousness, his own obedience to those who believe in him. He does it all that is required. Our great need is for our sins to be removed and to have obedience to satisfy God. And Christ does that. He removes all our sins. We could never do that. And he satisfies God, and we could never do that. And those who take hold of him, take hold of his merits. This touch of faith is so important. What are you taking hold of? But Jesus Christ in his mighty power to save. You take hold of him. You take hold of all his merits. And you shall be saved. You shall be made whole. But a touch, and I shall be made whole. But you know, notice this. Although we might be full of weakness and tentative and secretive, this touch of Christ is indeed a touch to strength, a touch to the gospel, a touch to salvation. But we see a picture of the wholeness of it in how Christ responds. We see her tentative, secretive. We see her full of weakness, and yet she touches. But that touch is a touch in the mighty Savior. And see how Christ responds. She had been tentative and secretive, but our Savior turns around, we read here. He turns around altogether to face her. This is our Savior. No half measures here. Our Savior turns around. He knows this is an important moment. And he turns around for this woman. This woman was important to him, one of his sheep. And he turns around, no half measures, and he gives her his full attention. And here we see the picture of full salvation. No half measures, no just offhand salvation, but rather Christ, in his great mercy and condescension, turning to that soul in his fullness of grace and fullness of mighty power and saying to her, be comforted, go in peace, you are made whole. What a blessed Savior. And my dear friend, he will do that to you. You may be full of timidity and slowness, and yet venturing. But fear not, he will turn around, and he will deal with you and save you altogether. There'd be nothing about the back door with our Savior going from behind you, but rather he will come to your very soul and take you altogether. No half measures, take you altogether and wash you in his blood. Remove all the stains, die in your place, and dress you altogether in his righteousness. Full salvation. What a good picture of true faith in Christ we have here. We have the reaching out. The weakness, is this you? You know, the struggle and the weakness. Is this you, my friend? And I'm sure it is many of us. Here we are, full of our complicated thought processes, full of lack of security, timidity, and yet we are drawn. And we must come. And we must interrupt. And we reach out. And we touch. And him then turns all around in his power and grace. Isn't that the experience of those who are Christians here this evening? Isn't that your story? That you in your weakness believed, but Christ in his might saved you. He is mighty to save. Understand, he is mighty to save. And he will save all who believe in him. My dear friend, reach out. Reach out to him. And speaking of your inner man, your soul here, we see the picture here. It's a good picture of the woman in her hand. Can you imagine her there in the crowd? She gets an opportunity. She reaches out and takes hold of the garment, the hem and the border of the garment, that you too might reach out to Christ. And you shall find his saving power. You shall have his attention. And you shall be thoroughly washed in the blood of Christ and thoroughly dressed in his righteousness, fit for heaven. You're not fit now, but you shall be in Jesus Christ. Christ is all, my friend. Don't go any half measures here. Don't come short and reach out and not quite make it. No, reach out until you take hold. And then you shall know his mighty power. We sang that hymn earlier on. Let me read at hymn because it expresses so well our passage here. Turn with me to hymn 640 by William Cowper, and expresses the matter so well. How these preachers of old understood the gospel so well, understood the human soul and the matters of faith. Heal us, Emmanuel. Hear our prayer. We wait to feel thy touch. Deep wounded souls to thee repair, and Saviour, we are such. Our faith is feeble, we confess. We faintly trust thy word. But wilt thou pity us the less, be that far from thee, Lord? Remember him who once applied with trembling for relief. Lord, I believe, with tears he cried, O help my unbelief. And then this our text. She too would touch thee in the press, and healing virtue stole. Was answered, daughter, go in peace. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Like her, with hopes and fears we come, to touch thee if we may. O send us not despairing home, send none unhealed away. Amen. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we see this picture of salvation here, and it might well be us in all our fears and our timidity, and yet drawn to lay hold on Christ, and then to find our Saviour full of grace and full of power to save us. Oh Lord, what a gospel we have. Our Lord Jesus Christ, what a Saviour we have. He is the Saviour. He is the Redeemer. There is none like him. Oh, we pray this evening that none might come short with that reach of the hand or the reach of the heart, but might take hold of the hem of his garment, and he then might take hold of them and save them in his mighty power. Oh, Lord, what a tragedy if people come short of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray they might know him and might love him and might be saved by him and might glorify him, and that forever, that we might be that we might be yet together one day, this congregation, in another place, in the glories of heaven. And there, O Lord, we shall exalt the name of Christ. We shall sing his praises, and our hearts shall be all thankfulness. We pray these things for thy glory. Amen. Well, shall we sing hymn 618?